There is always a person, one person, and only one, who's willing to love me, knowing everything about me. I say only one person because the person who loves you most on this world doesn't know everything about you and won't in this life know everything about you, and therefore they don't qualify to do that. Only one person knows everything about you and is willing to love you.
How can Jesus' infinite knowledge of us be good news to us? That's the question John Piper answers from John 2, 23-25 in this episode of Light and Truth. This sermon was originally preached at Bethlehem Baptist Church on January 11th, 2009.
Let's pray together. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and infants, you have ordained strength because of your foes to still the enemy and the avenger. It is like you, Lord, to magnify the glory of your name and to triumph over your enemies through the weakest of childlike instruments. You will not be robbed of your glory if any of us vaunting himself above you moves beyond where we should be. We will be cut down. So God, I humble myself under your mighty hand and ask that you would make your word glorious. Come. You do your powerful speaking as we have sung and prayed. Through Christ, I ask it again. Amen. Now you remember perhaps that the Gospel of John is clearly designed for a specific purpose. And it's stated in chapter 20, verse 31, these things are written that you may believe. And believing that he is the Son of God, have life in his name. So belief and life through Christ. That's the goal of this book. And so what we've seen is that he's right on task. Because in chapter 1, verse 12, it says, to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. So believing in his name, child of God. We saw in chapter 2, verse 11, after he turns the water into wine. It says, this is the first of the signs Jesus did at Cana in Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. And third, in chapter 2, verse 22, after he says, destroy this temple and in 3 days I'll build it up again, John comments, his disciples remembered that he had said this and they believed. So, 1:12, 2:11, 2:22, 20:31. This is clear. This gospel is moving in a very specific direction. The aim is to tell the truth about the incarnate Son of God such that it would awaken faith in those who read it and hear it. That's why it's written. So that people could have eternal life and not perish. Which means that when we get to verse 23 of chapter 2, I am very unsettled. It's an unsettling three verses. After this theme is announced, this is unsettling. Because what it says in essence is, Jesus knows everybody's heart, and when he looks into some hearts who are believing, he sees that they're not believing. And he won't deal with them. He backs away from them. I'm not going to go with you. I'm not going with you. I'm not partnering with you. I'm not your friend. I'm not your Lord. I'm not your Savior. I'm not going with you. And here they are believing. This is why it's unsettling. I mean, the gospel is written to help people believe. Verse 23 says they're believing. That's what it says. They're believing. And then verse 24 says, nope, won't have anything to do with you. He won't entrust himself to them because he knows what's in them. Well, this is very unsettling. The knowledge that Jesus has in these verses is phenomenal. It is part of his divine glory, and we are supposed to worship him because of it. So I'm going to lift him up as an omniscient Savior and try to help you admire his amazing knowledge. That's number one. Number two, the implication of what he knows about us is that he sees right through faith that isn't faith. And he talks about that. And we need to figure that out. Because I don't want to have that kind of faith. I don't want him looking into my heart and I'm thinking I'm believing and he says you're not believing. I don't want that to be my portion. Now, one of the reasons I think I'm keyed to hear this kind of thing is because I'm taking my cue from chapter 1, verse 14 every Sunday. Remember? We have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. And then verse 16 of chapter 1. And from this fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. So this gospel, it seems to me, is pursuing faith by revealing glory. And the way faith happens is that when, by new birth, the eyes of the heart are opened to see in Jesus Christ self-evidencing divine beauty that you cannot turn away from, when that happens, faith is born. So I'm asking at every text, what glory is being displayed here? And the glory that is being displayed here in verses 23 to 25 of chapter 2 is the glory of his knowledge. So let's read it. Start with me at the end of verse 24. It goes like this. Jesus, on his part, did not entrust himself to them because he knew all people. Verse 25, and needed no one to bear witness about any man, for he himself knew what was in man. There are three statements there that exalt the knowledge of Jesus. Jesus the knower. The first one, end of 24, he knew all people. There's nobody on the planet Jesus doesn't know. He knew them then, he knows them today. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Every one of the 6 billion people plus, he knows. Second, jump to the end of verse 25. He himself knew what was in man. He doesn't just know them on the outside. He knows everything about the inside. And third, beginning of verse 25, he needed, therefore, no one to bear witness about men. You need witnesses. I need witnesses. If we want to figure out if somebody's guilty or innocent or did what we weren't there to, we don't know what's inside people sitting in a courtroom. How do we know? How do we do life? Answer, witnesses. You want to get a job, you ask somebody about the company. They want to hire you, they ask somebody about you. We're always doing witnesses because we don't know anything. We're just so ignorant about what's inside of each other. And so we got to get testimonies. We got to get witnesses. We got to get evidences. Jesus doesn't need any of that. This is what's glorious about Jesus. He can just do an end run right around all the human processes and go straight to your heart. He knows exactly what's in you. He doesn't need your wife, your husband, your friend, your roommate to tell him anything. He knows it all. This is a glorious knowledge that Jesus has, and we need to let it sink in. It's really quite remarkable and quite thorough and quite scary in one sense. Let me read you a verse from chapter 6. Jesus says to his disciples, verse 64, "There are some of you who do not believe." So he's looking at his disciples. And he looks right him in the face. He says, "There are some of you who don't believe." How do you know that? Well, John, in the next verse, adds this. "For Jesus knew from the beginning who those were who did not believe and who it was who would betray him." That means Judas was not a surprise. Jesus prayed all night before he chose the 12. What did he pray all night? He prayed all night long, Lucas tells us, before he chose the 12. Why? So that he could make sure there was a betrayer in the midst. You got to know a man really well to know he'll betray you after living with you for 3 years and being empowered by you to do miracles. That's why I said it's scary. What he does with it isn't what you think he's going to do with it. You need to let this sink in. The glory of the omniscience of Jesus. The one who matters most in the universe knows most about you. Therefore, there's always at least one person you can relate to, you must relate to, who knows everything about you. It's remarkable. You know, all of our relationships are based on ignorance. A little bit of truth, but mainly ignorance. I just look around this room, and some of you I don't know at all. Some of you I've known for 30 years. And our relationship proceeds, though you don't know 10,000 things that could be known about me, and you don't know them. And I don't know 10,000 things about you that I might know, but I don't know. Massive levels of not knowing inform our relationships. It's just amazing. All human relationships are that way. There is one relationship in the universe that's not like that. Yours with Jesus. He knows absolutely everything about you. Everything. And he's the only one you can relate to like that. Which means, here's an implication. It means that there's always somebody you can go to who understands you better than you understand yourself. Now that may not be attractive to you, it is to me. Because inside of me, for whatever reason, there are these deep longings to understand myself better than I do. I don't get myself most of the time. I don't like a lot of things about myself. Things come out of me I cannot account for. Things fail to come out of me that I can't figure out why they don't come out of me. I'm about to go home with my family and have a special dinner. When I'm standing here singing, I'm singing about everybody needs a Savior. Everybody needs compassion. I'm thinking, yes, yes, I do. And I want to go home, and I just want to say that to the family. We're going to have a big table full today. I saw the table set this morning. Good night. There must have been 18 place settings around this table. And I'm going to be sitting at the head of this table in an hour and a half or whatever it is from now. And over and over again, I get to that moment, shut down emotionally. I want to lead with that kind of song. I want to lead with that kind of emotion. I want to feel there what I felt here. And often it doesn't happen. What's that? I don't know. But I know one who knows. That makes a difference to me. It makes a difference to me that there's one person in the universe. You don't know. You couldn't explain to me. I mean, if you were the best counselor in the world, you might give me some hint, but you wouldn't be able to get to the root of it all. But there is one who is totally in the know about that. He understands everything about my childhood, everything about the embarrassing things that happened in the fourth grade that are probably glomming onto me 60 whatever years later. And so one of the implications of this amazing knowledge is that there is one person I can always go to who knows me to the bottom. There's one last implication of this. Therefore, there is always a person, one person, and only one, who's willing to love me, knowing everything about me. I say only one person because the person who loves you most on this world doesn't know everything about you and won't in this life know everything about you, and therefore they don't qualify to do that. Only one person knows everything about you and is willing to love you. And the reason I say it like that is willing to love you. That may sound a little strange to you. Why did you say it that way? Why didn't you just say loves you? I say it that way because as I read the Gospel of John, I learn that Jesus doesn't love everybody the same. For example, do you remember his prayer in John 17? He's praying to his Father, and in verse 9, it says this, I am praying for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. Jesus prays for his own, whom God has given him, his sheep, and he's not praying for the world. Call that intercessory love. So there is a kind of love. He loves the world one way, but he's doing this for his own. He's interceding for his own. Now that's the kind of love I want. I don't want a general love that can let me go to hell. I want a specific love that covenants with me, prays for me, and gets me to glory. That's what I want, and God is willing to give you that. Will you have it is the question. John 1:12, to as many as received him, who believed on his name, to them he gave the right to become the children of God. And therefore, if you are a believer, he loves you like that. He loves you like that. So I can say to those of you who are believing in Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior and your treasure in this world and the next, knowing everything about you that nobody else knows, he loves you. So I conclude this point, namely lifting up the glory of the knowledge of the Son of God and say, there's nothing like it anywhere in the universe. Nothing. The knowledge that Jesus has of human beings surpasses the knowledge of all the books in all the libraries in all the world. He loves and he knows in a way like nobody else knows and nobody else loves. Worship him for that. Love him for that. Be amazed at him for that. Extol him for that. Follow him for that. Feed on that.
This is Light and Truth, God-centered preaching to help you see Christ clearly and treasure him truly. I'm your host, Dan Kruver. Thank you for listening. On our next episode, John Piper continues our series, Behold the Glory of Jesus, with a sermon titled, The Spiritual Sight of Glory. I hope you'll join us. For more resources, visit desiringgod.org.